Doctors treating U.S. President Donald Trump for coronavirus say the patient is doing, in their words, really well. That's according to primary physician Dr. Sean Connolly, despite the president needing supplemental oxygen for an hour on Friday. During a 10-minute briefing on Sunday outside the Walter Reed National Military Medical Center, the president's medical team said the president is now taking a steroid, dexamethasone, along with a 5-day course of remdesivir. That's an antiviral medication. The steroid is typically not administered in mild or moderate cases of the coronavirus. Dr. Sean Dooley, an Army colonel and pulmonologist, told reporters that the president's vital signs were stable on Sunday morning, and the patient was walking around, not complaining of shortness of breath or experiencing any other respiratory symptoms. Dr. Brian Garibaldi, a civilian specialist in pulmonary and critical care medicine, said if the president continues to do well, he could be released to the White House as early as Monday. On Friday, the president had a high fever. Dr. Connolly said that, along with a brief need for oxygen, prompted the move from the White House to the hospital. Meanwhile, it's 30 days before the presidential election. While Mr. Trump is hospitalized, Vice President Mike Pence, who has tested negative for the virus, carries on the campaign activities this week. That includes a debate with Democratic vice presidential nominee Kamala Harris on Tuesday. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson has defended his handling of the coronavirus pandemic. He warned that the country faces a bumpy winter ahead. That's his term. Britain has Europe's highest coronavirus death toll at more than 42,000. Johnson's conservative government is facing criticism from all sides for the way it has handled the virus. From Washington, you're listening to VOA News. Police in Minsk, Belarus, used water cannon to disperse crowds as protests against President Alexander Lukashenko continued for the ninth straight day on Sunday. An estimated 100,000 people took to the streets of the capital Sunday. Since the longtime president claimed victory in a contested election August 9th, protesters have regularly taken to the streets, demanding his resignation and the release of political prisoners. Lukashenko maintains he won the poll in a landslide, garnering 80% of all ballots, despite widespread claims at home and abroad that the vote was heavily rigged to keep him in power. Over the weekend, Belarus canceled the accreditation of all foreign journalists. Late last week, the European Union imposed sanctions on about 40 Belarusian officials accused of falsifying the election results and cracking down on the subsequent protests. Lukashenko was not on the list. Heavy clashes continue between Azerbaijan and Armenia over the disputed Nagorno-Karabakh region. Azerbaijan's second largest city, Ganja, has been shelled by Armenian forces. The Nagorno-Karabakh enclave is officially part of Azerbaijan, but run by ethnic Armenians. Self-proclaimed authorities say they hit Ganja's military airport after Azerbaijani forces shelled the region's capital. Azerbaijan says no Ganja military sites were hit. More than 220 people have died since clashes began a week ago. Armenia and Azerbaijan went to war over Nagorno-Karabakh in 1988 through 1994. They eventually declared a ceasefire, but they've never reached a settlement over the dispute. Seven bodies were found in a region straddling the French-Italian border near Nice on Sunday after torrential rains swept houses and roads away. That's according to officials in both countries. Five of the bodies were discovered in northwestern Italy, while two more were found in France. It brings to nine the number of people found dead after fierce rains and howling gales of wind lashed the border area on Friday. French firefighters said another 21 people were missing, eight of them known to be as a direct result of the storm. The bad weather has cost millions of euros in damage, with several road bridges swept away in Italy and streets in some towns littered with debris, mud, and overturned cars. And deadly wildfires in California have burned a record 1.6 million hectares this year, with two more months to go in the fire season. California fire officials said the state hit the fearsome milestone on Sunday. Via remote, I'm Marissa Melton from Washington.